Praise God. Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. It is Mission Sunday. I want to encourage you to continue giving to the missionaries that you support and missions work. That's the will of God. You don't have to wonder if it's the will of God or not. It is God's will to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have people that are doing that today, right out from this church, all over this world. Sun never sets on First Assembly because we're sending people out everywhere. And I believe this gospel is still powerful. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Gentiles. Amen. So it's for everybody. Amen. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Thought I'd just let you know that. To all other peoples. All peoples. God shows no personal favoritism. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, will begin. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he, Jesus, answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank the Lord that you're able to do great, exceeding abundantly of all we can ask or think. Praise you, Lord, for your putting this in Scripture so we can see your miracle working power. And I pray, Lord, that our faith would be strong today, God, that our compassion for the lost would be as yours was and is. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. To talk to you about compassion for the lost. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I heard some ignorant preacher say, that if God wants to save all them people over there, he can go over there and save them. No. God said, you go into all the world. He said, you do what needs to be done. Here he says, you give them something to eat. Amen. But here a great multitude is looking for something to lift them from the burdens of life and sickness and disease and demon possession. They had followed Jesus everywhere. This was a people in search for answers, and there are people today in search for an answer. And we have the answer. We know the answer is Jesus. And a strong song we sing sometimes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He is. And people in search for answers to life. Why has this happened to me? Or why is there no answer to disease? Why is there no answer to my discouragement, my fear, my sorrow? Is this all life has to offer? Let me tell you something. Without Jesus, that's about it. But with Christ, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can face anything we've got to face. I want to tell you, God in His Holy Spirit can give you power to face what you cannot face yourself. He's more powerful than the trial you're going through. He's more mighty. He's greater. He's walked thousands of people through the same thing you're going through. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. He's powerful. He's mighty. He can do anything. I want you to notice this scripture that verse 34 here. When Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude. Think of the word saw there. He saw the great multitude. He saw everything that was needed there. He saw further and deeper than you and I can see. But God sees you today. He sees your very depth of your heart, your soul. He knows the inner workings of your mind and your spirit and everything in you. God knows. And He sees you today, yet God sees people headed for eternity. And people need Jesus in their heart and their life. We've seen many pictures on TV or wherever of starving people and the thousands that are hurting for food and hungry, and we're challenged to send food to them, and I encourage you to do so. Seek out somebody that's really doing what they say they're doing with the money and help feed the poor. Amen. Praise God for that. But Jesus saw these people as sheep scattered. If you look at Matthew 9:36, it tells the same thing. They were weary and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. And sheep are basically stupid. Amen. They have no sense of direction. They have no way to defend themselves. If an enemy comes in, they just are dependent fully upon the shepherd. Let me encourage you a little bit this morning. God calls us sheep. No, you're not stupid. But we do need direction in our life. We need somebody. We need leadership in our life. We need God to lead us. And God graciously has offered to do so. Amen. I would not refuse His direction, His help for anything, for any of the wealth of three worlds. Amen. We need Him. And so, sheep have no natural defense against spiritual or against predators, against wolves. Sheep have to be led. They cannot be driven. Amen. And there's a lot of shepherds out there trying to drive sheep. It don't work. Amen. Years ago, I worked at a sale barn, and I've used this illustration before, but sheep forget, so you've probably forgotten it too. I was working at a sale barn, and we were unloading hogs, sheep, and cattle. And I had some sheep I was supposed to get to another pen, and I couldn't get them there. I kept trying to drive them, you know, and get in that pen, you know. Finally, an old farmer came up to me and said, "Son," and I was young enough, he'd call me son. He said, "If you'll get that front sheep and just take a hold of him, pick him up and carry him, the rest of them will follow you right in there." And you know, that's exactly what happened. I couldn't drive them in there. They had to be led. Amen. And so you and I cannot be on our own. Amen. I can do this on my own. No, you can't do spiritual things on your own. You need God. And you need the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you and to give you power to stand against the schemings of the enemy of God. Amen. And we need God's help. We need God's Holy Spirit. And the church, the thing the church needs worse than anything is to be filled and refilled continually with the Holy Spirit so they have the power to be victorious and be overcomers instead of being overcome. Hallelujah. And so Jesus saw these people as weary and scattered, and Jesus ministered to them. And without Jesus the shepherd, they're prey, easy prey for their enemies or their soul. And you and I, without Christ in us and without God in us, we're easy prey for the enemy. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus is in your heart, He's Lord and King of your life, amen, whatever the enemy would bring against you, it cannot stand against them. The Bible says if the enemy would come in like a flood, the Spirit of God would lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. And so with God, you and God are a majority. You and God can make it. You and God are a majority. You and God are overcomers. You and God are victorious. But without Him, we're not victorious. But we need Him. And Jesus was moved with compassion when He saved me and when He saved you. Because He saw us as easy prey for the enemy of our soul. And we needed His help. And Jesus taught many things. And His teaching was far different from the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Pharisees, they basically made up rules of their own and called it the Word of God. I've heard people do that today. Just make up something that sounds like a scripture and say, "This is what God said." But God hadn't said nothing of the such. But the Pharisees did this, and they considered their own writings to be equal with that of the inspired, infallible Old Testament scriptures. But Jesus taught them differently. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And the Pharisees here, Jesus, in Matthew 23, Jesus gives some of his strongest language against the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew 23:1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and they do not do. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." It's pretty strong language. Jesus is saying, they preach to you one thing, they do another, but they sure don't live what they're teaching you. Such is the case in many things today. But Jesus' teaching was far different from that of scribes and Pharisees. He taught them as one who loved them, and he taught them as one that had authority. And he did have authority and does have authority. Amen. And he taught them not to endlessly wandering in sin and darkness, hoping that they could end up in heaven. Jesus taught them how to get there. And he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And let me ask you something, church. Are we moved today for people without an answer to life's problems, life's difficulties? Are we moved with compassion for people that do not have answers? You say, "Well, I don't know what to tell everybody." Hey, I don't know. I know to tell everybody about Jesus. That's all I know. That's good enough. Amen. That's all there is to tell. Praise the Lord. I heard a preacher here a while back. He's a real old preacher now. He's a good man. Preached this truth. But he said, grew up. He said, "I got full of the Holy Ghost as a kid, young." Said, "I was 17 years old. Pastored my first church when I was 17. He said, "One of my main ministries was marriage counseling." He said, "I didn't know what to tell him. I told him, said, get full of the Holy Ghost and use Listerine. That's all he needed to tell him." But I want to tell you, God knows what to do. Praise the Lord. And we should be moved for people who are hurting and people who do not have an answer and are looking for, searching everywhere, something to lift the burden, to lift the guilt, to lift the shame, to lift the difficulty. They need something more than you and I can offer. They need what God can offer, and God has freely offered it to them. Praise the Lord, as he has to you and I. Glory to God. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And God can still give hope. God can still give peace. God can still give deliverance. He's not without an answer. He's not hanging in the balance wondering what in the world to say to these people next. God knows what he's doing. God knows you. God cares for you. God is concerned about you. And God will meet your need. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that because I'm some spiritual giant that knows how it works. But I want to tell you, God, I'm just as human as you are. But God has answered me so many times, and I know by experience he's a God that does what he says he will do. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he shows personal favoritism to nobody. He loves you as much as he loved every disciple. Man. And so, what was Jesus going to do here? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't send people away empty. My dad was kind of funny. I'm sure you can imagine that. But he went to church one time, and the preacher preached, and there's a guy after church who's very critical. He said, "I didn't get anything out of that today, did you?" My daddy looked at him and said, "It was a good sermon." He said, "The problem is you didn't bring anything to put it in." Okay. And so they needed a response here. And it says the day was far spent. It was close to over. The people had been following Jesus. They were tired. They were hungry. The natural need was settling in upon them. We in America know that. We think if we go 10 minutes without food, we think we need something. But the natural response of the disciples was, send them away so that they may go into the towns and villages and buy them something to eat, for they're hungry. In verse 36, send them away. That was the disciples' response. We've been here all day. We're tired. We're hungry ourselves. We don't have much, but we don't, and they don't have anything. And let them go down to 7-Eleven and buy themselves something. That's not in Scripture, but anyway. Send them away so they may go into the village and buy something. That was their response. Just send them away. You know, we've put up with this bunch all day. You've taught them. You've preached to them. But it's time to send them. It's time to go home. But Jesus' response was different. Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. Wow. Can you imagine on the natural side of that? We may criticize the disciples for the coming up with that, but if you and I had been there, I'm sure we would have said, you know, there's a good place to eat right down the street. You know, I'll tip you a dollar if you don't spend too much, you know. You know, I got dollar stuff at Sonic. They used to anyway. But he did just send people. He said, you give them something to eat. He laid the responsibility on the disciples. They must have thought, you're kidding, Lord. There's 5,000 people here. Do you really think we can feed this multitude? But Jesus was teaching them to respond to people's need. Amen. You may feel like, well, I cannot do a whole lot of things for God. I can't do a lot for God. But I want to tell you, if you really want to do something for God, it's not hard to find a way to do that. God can use you to carry a sack of groceries out if you don't get paid for it. God can help you, ask you to open the door for somebody. God can ask you to be kind and compassionate to people. He can open that door for you. He has to me for many times. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying that if you want to be good to people, there's an opportunity everywhere to be good. There's people in the nursing home that don't have anybody to talk to them, can't get their own kids to come to them. Go there and talk to them. They'll listen to you. Amen. They won't get tired of listening to you. I don't care if you talk forever about nothing. They'll still listen to you. So there's something we can do. And so these people here were faced with a situation beyond human help. And the disciples said, well, Lord, there's not enough money to buy a little bit for all of them to eat. So it was an impossible situation. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And his response, we can't just send them away empty and not give them something. And church, you and I cannot just send people away empty. We cannot just not care for people that are lost, even if they're on the other side of the world or this side of the world. And there's plenty of lost people right where we live. We cannot just say, let God help them out if you can. No, huh? God has said, you do something for them. You give them something to eat. You show them the way of life. And I want to tell you, we can offer them Christ, the bread of life. Amen. Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. He said, but I am the bread of life. And by believing in Christ and have faith in God, God can supply the need. And God can furnish them something they need. And I'll tell you what, friend, when we give them Jesus, we're giving them the wonderful thing, wonderful news. Praise the Lord. So we can't just send people away empty when we serve the bread of life. How many times has God stepped in and helped you out? I can tell you plenty of times. If we were open up testimony service and say, everybody testify about something good God has done for you, we could be here all night or all day. And so I know you don't want that kind of illustration, so we'll go on. But the greatest thing, God has given us his Son. And we have a testimony to what God can do in their lives. And our greatest offering is we can give people the message of salvation, deliverance from guilt and shame, and from something that isn't empty, something that's real, something that's God. Amen. It is the answer. Let me give you this illustration. And it might be sort of lengthy, but it's all right. You'll get out in time to eat. Okay. But this illustration has to do with the blood of Christ. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of God at her heart. She responded to the altar call and went down, and she responded to Jesus and accepted Jesus in her heart and her life and gave her heart, her life to Jesus, because that's what salvation is. It's giving your life to Jesus. It's not just praying a sinner's prayer. You may do that, thank God, but it's not just that. She gave her heart to Jesus. And she had been saved from a very rough past. She was involved in alcohol, drugs, and prostitution. But the change in her was evident, and as time went on, she became a faithful member of the church, and she eventually began to serve in the church and minister to young children. And as the story goes, that if you've changed from age of 9, 10 to 12, 13 or 14, you know what I'm talking about here. It was not very long until the faithful young woman caught the eye of the pastor's son. She was a pretty girl. And she had a really rough past, but yet the pastor's son couldn't get his eyes off. This young woman is nice looking, and she's given her heart to Jesus. And so they began to see one another, and the relationship grew, and they began to make wedding plans. And this is when problems began, because you see, problems in the church began on this. You see, about one half of the congregation did not think the woman with such a past as hers was suitable for the pastor's son. Surely she can beat that. Amen. Do you see the way that guy combs his hair? If he combs it? Did you see he's got a tattoo here and there? Amen. Why would the pastor's son want that girl? We got to get him away from this, okay? I'm making a little of this up, okay? It's better. But the church began, this is a true story, the church began to argue and fight about the matter, so they decided to have a meeting. Wow. I'm going to tell you, there's a better reason to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting was getting completely out of control, out of hand. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting was completely out of hand. This young woman became very upset about all the things being brought up about her past. And she began to cry. And as she began to cry, the pastor's son stood. He could not bear the pain and it was causing his wife to be. And he began to speak his statement. And his statement was this: "My fiancé's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. So does it wash away sin or not?" And the church began to be broken. They began to repent. They began to cry out to God and ask forgiveness because they knew that all of them have been saved from a life of sin. You see, that's what God can do. Amen. You give them something to eat. You know that God can lift sorrow and shame and guilt from people. And that's what we extend to people when we reach out in missions and when we reach out personally. We can know that God can give a person peace of mind, peace of heart, that they're not on their way to hell, but when they receive Christ, they're on their way to heaven instead. Hallelujah. My friend, I don't want anybody to see anybody die and go to hell. I don't want to see anybody die without Christ. You say, well, that happens every day. Yes, it may happen every day, but I want to tell you something, friend. When the church gets on the bandwagon and begins to do what God said, God will stretch out his hands with signs and wonders and miracles and set people free from the law of sin and death and give them hope and help for tomorrow and today and forever and eternity. Serve a wonderful God, a living God, a loving God. Hallelujah. This meeting, the whole church began to weep as they realized that they had been slandering the blood of Christ. And too often we as Christians, we bring up the past and use it as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. But forgiveness is a very foundational part of the gospel. If the blood of Jesus does not cleanse the other person, it cannot cleanse us either. But it does, and it can. Amen. Moving on here, let's look at the fact that there is always enough. Only 5 loaves, only 2 fish. Amen. But there's always enough with God. You know, God has never run out. He's never run out of grace. He's never run out of hope. He's never run out of love. He's never run out of mercy. He's never run out of anything and everything that humanity needs. He created us. He knows what's in us. He knows what we need. And he's not going to run short or run low. Hallelujah. And you say, well, you know, I grew up in a church where this lady that obviously she would somewhere during the service she would break out in speaking in tongues, and everybody say, oh no, here she goes again. It didn't bother the pastor, didn't bother anybody else in the church. But one day, two of our teachers of the school came because me and the pastor's son were in their class. We looked at each other, and I hope Sister So-and-so doesn't explode today. I kid you not, we got to singing, and she broke out in a message in tongues. She never did interpret it. She expected the pastor to do that. Sometimes he did, and sometimes he didn't. Sometimes it was just a praise, you know, and not a one of the message. And I thought, dear Lord, we got to go back to school now, and these two teachers are going to think we're idiots. Well, they may have. I don't know. But I'm not ashamed of what God does. And if God wanted to use that woman and speak to that woman, that's fine. Amen. But you see here, God doesn't send people away empty. And I'm sure, I don't know what the message in tongues did for him, for those two teachers, but my pastor got up and preached a gospel message that was ready for everybody. Amen. And so, how many loaves do you have? Only five and two fish. And Jesus said, have the people to sit down. Amen. And Jesus was always ready to serve the needy. And that's what Jesus did when he was here. He served. He didn't come here to win a popularity contest. He didn't come here to be faithful. He came to serve his Father and serve humanity. And Matthew 20:20 says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Jesus prayed. Five loaves, two fish, small amount there, but he prayed. And he blessed the food. I can imagine him giving the food to the disciples. He hands a piece of bread to this one. And they look at Jesus, you know what, the first row? You know, first two there? And that fellow on the front, he's pretty big. He looked like he could eat all five. All fish too, yeah. Well, but God, they began to distribute the food. And it just kept multiplying. It just kept going and going. It says they all ate and were filled. Because with God, there's always enough. They didn't realize the supernatural, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, was with them. He could make anything multiply. He could meet the need. And they didn't realize with God, there's always enough. Let me tell you something, friend. You may get depressed or discouraged. You may have heard COVID-19 till you wanted to throw it out the window. Let me tell you something. It's not too big for the God that we serve. It's not too powerful for our Savior. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you quit. Don't you get depressed. You pick it up and go on. Amen. Go on faithfully for God. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed, blessed the food. You know, there was enough for everybody. Because with God, there's always enough. Always enough of God's mercy. Enough. My friend, there's still room at the cross for you. Love that old song. For millions have come, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Today, if you're in need of forgiveness, healing, deliverance, in need of deliverance from guilt and shame and past failures, if you're in need today and the devil keeps hopping, piling upon you what you did one time years ago, and you've already asked God's forgiveness, and you've believed what God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he keeps piling the past upon you. If only you'd have made the right decision 10 years ago, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in right now. You need to say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to flee. You got to get lost. Because God has forgiven you. You're clean. Amen. You're pure by the blood of Christ. Amen. Nothing to be ever remembered against you from ever as far as the east is to the west. So far, God has removed your transgressions from you. You're victorious. You're a child of God, the child of the King. You've been given that by the grace of God. And so, there's always enough of God. Always enough of God's grace. I don't think the Apostle Paul ever got too far from preaching on the grace of God. As a matter of fact, in the resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, you know, Paul persecuted the church before he was saved. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he was a persecutor, and he cast his vote against people that would be put to death for their faith. He's awful. He said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Worse. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I later labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I tell you in conclusion today, God is still moved with compassion for me, you, and for the lost. And let us be moved with compassion. And God is still giving hope where hope has been lost. He's still giving love where love has been lost. He's still giving peace where peace has been lost. He can give it, he can restore, and God does restore. You may say, well, I've gone too far, and this has gotten out of my hand, and I don't have anywhere else to go. My friend, you don't need anywhere else to go. You need Jesus to come to. And he says, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen.